Terrible Tommy here. Friday, Freya's Day. Yeah, right here in the bunker, right here in North Central Indiana. 46581 is the zip code, P.O. Box 401. And make your donations, check, money order, or whatever, to the insurgent or to Tom Metzger. Don't make it out to White Aryan Resistance. That's too many places to go there. Okay. All right. And it is, what is it today? We know it's Freya's Day, but it's the 5th of September. And boy, I'm telling you, this year is moving fast, and we're going to get some breezes out of the north here before too long, I think. What do you think, man? Have you figured out a place you can hide out in a warm climate for a week or two this winter? I think I'm going to have to impose on a couple of my friends around the country and in the warm areas of the country to hide out for a couple of weeks, or at least a week. Yeah, yeah, okay. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station, where we sell Ethel and regular. We're the only guys in Indiana that sell Ethel and regular. And we're right next to the giant, well-known, worldwide-known, hated by the CIA and the FBI and what's the other one? Homeland Insecurity. Yeah, we got the weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard here, baby. And we've been selling them out here like mad. People are getting ready for something. You know, I think the overmasters and the overseers are getting ready for something too. So we got two sides of the situation getting ready for the big one, baby. You think it's going to happen before Obama leaves office? I don't know. Probably not. He'll be so happy to get back to Illinois and be a street activist. He's looking like hell, man. I think I mentioned it yesterday. He's getting blacker, I think, and craggier face, and hair is turning white. He's going to rue the day he decided to go along with the big shots and be their little boy. Well, I see the top 3% in the country's income went up 15% in 1 year. How about that? And guess where your ancient middle class went? Down to crapper. I think it went down about 20%. In fact, you can't call yourself middle class anymore. Like I said, if you don't have enough hard cash to get you by for a full year, quit calling yourself middle class. People we see out there calling themselves middle class just they got some credit and they're running that credit up, buying houses, buying cars and all that kind of stuff. But that's gonna come to an end one of these days, boys and girls. Yeah. I wonder if Saudi Arabia's chopped any more heads off. You know, isn't that funny? Isn't that strange? Not really, you people. This ISIS cut off a couple of heads, you know, and they go crazy when the Saudi Arabians cut off 21, 22, 23 of them in a month or so. Yeah, I don't hear any of these Republicans griping about that, so I guess it just depends on whose head gets cut off and who's doing the cutting. Well, the letter I wrote to the paper was in the paper yesterday. I said, look, I want to get some of those ISIS boys on Lend-Lease because we can use a few in Washington to do a few chopping, do a little bit of chopping. Of course, they're taking my ideas. That pisses me off because I wanted to introduce the guillotine, and I had some guys going to build me a guillotine, but that fell through, so I don't have a guillotine this year yet. But as soon as I get one made, I'm going to put it on a flatbed trailer and take it around and park it in front of politicians' offices. I don't care. Mayors, governors, senators, anybody's got any power in politics, I'm going to be parking that damn guillotine in front of their office for at least one day at a time, you know. That's right. I'm going to do it. As soon as I get some guys off their ass to build me one, when we get it built, I'm going to mount it on my flatbed truck. Get it up there in the air, not on a little trailer down by the ground. Just like in Paris when they were chopping heads off. We can get that thing up about 4 or 5 feet off the ground, man, where everybody can gather around and see the happenings, man. Well, me and my lady are going out tonight, and guess where we're going? About 25 miles away here to the big center, and they're going to have the Beach Boys there. Or what's left of the Beach Boys. We're going to have a Beach Boys concert tonight. And woo-wee, I like the Beach Boys. So we're going to be right there on the front row, a-clapping and a-yelling. Now, my lady, she's seen them play live back in the day, but I never got to see them play live. But this will be live, but I guess maybe there'll be a couple of the original ones in the band tonight. Hell, they lived only a mile or so from where I lived in Hermosa Beach, I guess it was. I lived in Manhattan Beach and Hermosa Beach and Santa Monica, West L.A., Redondo Beach. I lived in all those places out there in Southern California, if you know what's I mean. The last vestige of the last hangout for white people is down that little strip along the coast. You got to pay your ass off to pay your rent on down there, but it is an escape from most of the non-whites. Of course, when I lived down there, it was cheap. I had a bachelor pad there in Manhattan Beach. One big giant room with a small kitchen and a Murphy bed. And it was off the main street down an alley. And I paid $75 a month for that. Now it'd be probably $7,500 or $750 a month. Yeah, also, West L.A., where I first sat down, I had a place up there for $75, too. And finally, when I got married down, we went down there to Redondo Beach, and we bought a house about a mile back from the ocean for $20,000. Now, the last time I went by up there, that house is still there. It's surrounded by big apartment complexes. So probably that property alone, forget the house, is probably worth about at least $250,000, maybe more by now. But I had to get out of there, man. At L.A., the L.A. area was just getting to be too much trouble. too much problems. Somebody sent me an email here, and they said, both my wife and I worked for Census 2010. We were ordered to count Hispanics and Arabs as white. Well, you know, they've referred to the Arabs as Caucasian for a long time. And there are a lot of Caucasians among the Arabs, but not a majority. He says, I have nothing against either group, but this is obviously intended to conceal a major demographic change, whites being replaced in the U.S. Well, I'll tell you, it's worse than that, because when my significant other was working on the census several years ago in California, they were instructed to write down whatever the person told them they were. If you ask a cold, black, liver-lipped Negro what his race was, and if he said white, you had to put it down. So that's even worse. Well, it looks like we're going to have some new billionaires in the world coming up, of which I had this information quite some time ago, and that's why I said the reason why we're all over there in Afghanistan. Despite being one of the poorest nations in the world, Afghanistan may be sitting on one of the richest troves of minerals in the world, valued at nearly $1 trillion, according to the U.S. science. Afghanistan, a country nearly the size of Texas, is loaded with minerals deposited by the violent collision of the Indian subcontinent with Asia. The U.S. Geological Survey began inspecting what mineral resources Afghanistan had after the U.S.-led forces drove the Taliban from power in the country in 2004. Believe me, they knew it long. They knew it before that, baby. Why do you think they wanted to drive the Taliban out? Afghanistan may hold 60 million tons of copper, 2.2 billion tons of iron ore, 1.4 million tons of rare earth elements such as lanthanum, cerium, and neodymium, and loads of aluminum, gold, silver, zinc, mercury, and lithium. Wow. Gee whiz. Let me see here. For instance, the Khanashin carbonatite deposit in Afghanistan's Helmand province is valued at $89 billion, full as it was with rare earth elements. Of course, remember, that's where our troops were fighting like hell for that Helmand province. Corporate army. Afghanistan is a country that is very, very rich in mineral resources, unquote. Jack Medlin, a geologist and program manager of the U.S. Geological Survey's Afghanistan project, told Live Science, quote, we've identified the potential of at least 24 world-class mineral deposits. We finally did that. Yeah. They've known about it for a long time. The scientists' work was detailed in August 15th issue of Journal Science. It says here comes the oligarchs. It's all about money, man. It's all about money. Like my sign says, war and religion are the two big rackets. And our troops are nothing but go step and fetch it for the oligarchs. Yep, that's true. You can take that to the bank. I don't know whether you heard these jokes, but they were sent to me by a well-meaning person. Question, why aren't aspirins black instead of white? Answer, don't you want them to work? Question, why don't niggers take vitamins? Answer, they're too proud to pick the cotton on the bottom of the bottles. Ah, yeah, yakety yakety yak. Remember back when the settlers were buying the Manhattan Island from the Indians for a few beads and stuff like that? Probably that was all it was worth back then, anyhow. But anyhow, now they're working on the Nigerians. Yeah, MasterCard. Yeah, they're working on the Nigerians. Listen to this.
The new Nigerian national identity cards with branded logo of the American firm MasterCard angered Nigerians amid fears of security and economic breach. Many people call for an immediate halt to the project. President Goodluck Jonathan launched the National Electronic Identity Card, which all Nigerians will have by 2019 if they want to vote.
I'm impressed with the quality of the eID card and the work of the corporate partners that made it possible. I commend especially the MasterCard Worldwide Corporation and Access Bank PLC, as well as the Commission, who followed all laid down procedures in achieving a world-class product.
Nigerians hit out at the government saying it would surrender a symbol of national sovereignty and pride to the American firm MasterCard. People also say the deal was made amid the intense global data spying by the National Security Agency of the United States, which is home to MasterCard.
Yeah.
Nigeria's government has shared the biometrics of 170 million Nigerians to the firm.
Yeah. Nobody is looking at the security angle. Nobody is looking at theft of identity that could really bring damaging international relations. The only way out is to terminate this contract because it's not in the interest of Nigerians.
The government says the card is a means of certifying the holder's identity, but many analysts say the deal hands over all adult Nigerians as direct and compulsory customers of MasterCard. The National Identity Card Project for decades has continued to be wrapped up in corruption and mismanagement. The allegation of corruption is in addition to other unresolved corruption cases involving missing pension funds, oil subsidy, and billions of dollars missing from the Petroleum Ministry. Benjamin Abdullahi, Press TV, Abuja.
Wow. Oh, boy. Corruption? Corruption in a nigger country? Oh, wow. Take this card, boy. Give me your bananas. Yeah. Whenever you're fighting corruption, you're fighting big banks and Wall Street. Simple as that. Don't you just love it when these political whores get caught with their pants down and their wife screwing their campaign manager and this governor McDonald, yesterday I talked about him. They were flying high, man. Once they get in there, they want to get all that pork. And when they fall, those sons of bitches. I don't know whether he got any time in jail. Oh, he hasn't been sentenced yet. But I love it when it's these big bullshitting Republican white guys that get it. Does that make me anti-white? No, it makes me anti-bastard white. So anytime, because these are the kind of guys that if you went to their office or tried to talk to them about race or anything, they'd throw you out. And they'd say everything bad in the world about you. And you're not corrupt. You're just talking about racial separation. That's why I get so thrilled and excited when one of these big bastard governors or like that go down the tube. I love it, baby. I turn on my celebrating music. Da 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 da. Yeah. Well, the judge says BP, British pricks, were grossly negligent in the Deepwater Horizon disaster. A judge ruled, a decision that could cost the firm up to $18 billion in pollution fines. But you can't replace the ecology. Once you destroy that Gulf of Mexico water and so forth, and the fish and everything, and all the livelihoods of people, you can't put that back. These people make so much money that $18 billion is just going to be a little speed bump. You got to try them, jail them, execute them. That's the only thing that'll ever stop these bastards from doing what they're doing. Only thing. And if the courts won't do it, and the judge don't have the balls, or they're controlled by the big boys, it's up to the people to punish these people, and hopefully they do get punished. Boy, here's a joke. A British-backed team has been quietly investigating the Islamic State, for war crimes. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Let's start with George Jr. and Cheney and Wolfowitz and all those assholes. The Islamic State should be way down the list. Well, quite a few of you probably don't remember Major D.V. Clerken. I believe he was up in Minnesota or Wisconsin. I used to exchange mail with him and so forth and talk to him. I think I met the man one time at one of the big get-togethers. This is from an article from March 1992. That's a long way back. It's entitled, Under Siege. Is the white race not under siege? There's a picture in here of a black guy and a white woman. The picture, at least, is a symbol of the type of siege the white race is subject to. This white woman seems content to miscegenate. Her example is taken as a scent by blacks and other non-whites for sexual assault, denial of jobs to white males, and the mugging of elderly whites. She probably doesn't realize it, but the non-white males she consorts with see her as an example of white surrender. Every white miscegenator has thrust a dagger into the heart of the white race. Phil Donahue is another example of a white renegade. And if you don't remember Phil Donahue, he was very popular in the 80s and part of the 90s, I believe, as a talk show guy. I was on his show at least once. He regularly has black activists on his show who make no bones about their hatred for whites. Donahue doesn't become critical until the blacks start talking against the Jews. Then he begins to bristle. Well, he was married to a Jewess. Every time Phil Donahue has a show that's critical of whites, another black decides that victimizing whites is all right. And this goes on all over the media. Media are so hostile to even a moderately pro-white message, such as David Duke's, and that it is literally an invitation to anti-white violence across the country. Whites may be threatened because media whites feel guilty for some perceived wrong they have committed against people of color. Jews, however, are a holy people which absolves them of the special guilt that white liberals carry. This is the reason why whites are losing the struggle. Too many whites have come to believe themselves guilty, a form of original sin which comes with the genes. And of course, you should never accept original sin in any way, period. So they accept the white man's burden and go to work on their worst enemies. The Jews beat the drum or this sick complex. It suits them to lower self-esteem among whites for their race and its wonderful accomplishments. And they really have done that. They've been successful at that. The average white is just scared to death to be called racist or a separatist. They're scared to death. I see it in their eyes. The only time they'll be honest is when you're in a dark corner someplace or out of sight. When someone such as Tom Metzger utters a little peep about rights for whites, the paralytic white drones go into a frenzy, looking for a Negro to play up to, some black they claim is their friend. You ever notice these bars sometimes you go into and mainly all white, but then a black guy walks in and they treat him like the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the women run up and hug him and everything. It's white guilt. Phony guilt. Unrealistic guilt. Most whites don't know any Jews, so they usually don't go so far as to slash their wrists on the steps of a synagogue over their perception of collective racial guilt. The white drones do increase their contributions to the United Way, which is in most places is a conduit for white money transfers to the white race's worst enemies. Don't give your money to those big outfits like that, Tommy says. Even at the dollar store, they want me to give my change to help people learn how to spell and write. And I said, forget it, buddy. They can go down to the local library. It's well equipped to teach you whatever you want to know free. Dronish whites call talk shows to condemn white racism, to exculpate their sense of guilt, and to show proper support for integration and mongrelization, proper respect for Jews and Israel and anything else that's likely to eventually cast a shadow over white people and make monkeys out of them. The only thing all too many white drones today are likely to get angry over is the appearance of some poor sucker who dares to think that he can call upon white support for the white race. When this fellow goes on Donahue or Geraldo or Inside Edition, it is certain that the audience of white drones and the host will carve him up for scrap. I know all about that, boys and girls. We couldn't lose this war if we didn't have white renegades working for us. Nevertheless, this is a war we find ourselves engaged in. Renegades and traitors within our race. Vile opponents without. Still, it is a good war. We have all the honor on our side. Our enemies are moral slugs. We're going to win because we are right and honorable. Well, and Tommy would say, and also we have a pair. Like the knightly orders of our medieval period, we fight for principle and salvation of our race and culture. No more fundamental purpose can there be. When you choose to join the white cause, you breathe a sigh of relief that you have come in from the cold. You've come home. We must be smart now. Those who seek our downfall, those who have us under siege, are waiting to pounce. This decade will see a great white awakening. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Clerkin. They didn't awake as much as you'd like to see. You're gone now. You passed away a decade or so ago. We are seeing interest in the Aryan movement more now than ever before. Two national candidates, Duke and Buchanan, are actually talking about things from a Eurocentric perspective. Well, unfortunately, that stuff doesn't go anywhere. It sounds good. People get all excited about it, but most people want to know about getting wages higher and having a job and having security and things like that, working class issues. And then you can get to them on race after you help them with other things. That's something. See, Buchanan has made his whole career in the Beltway. I've been close to him. I think I shook his hand once, his pudgy little soft hands that never did a day's real labor in his life, and he's still not doing it. He gets called, sort of as a joke, he gets called on these liberal talk shows, and so every once in a while he writes a book saying, oh my God, it's terrible. Well, we know it's terrible, Buchanan. And Duke, who in hell knows what he's doing. More and more whites are fed up with the deadening, moral, corrupt status quo. We are receiving requests for information from the white professionals now because the assault on Eurocentrism is American life is beginning to hit home, and those who had therefore thought themselves immune from such things as minority preferences in hiring and promotions. It is not just the white working class that is being victimized by government programs of reverse discrimination and hatred of whiteness. Have you ever seen such public denunciations as those directed in the media against the white male? Well, even in television advertising, they make the white male look stupid. He's the jerk. He's what the black used to be. Step and fetch it. Now it's white step and fetch it. University students have been writing to us to complain about political correctness on their campus. Well, they should have done something about it. Which see their earned grades reduced for not properly kissing up to non-whites, queers, and feminists. The Jews are beginning to worry that their psychological hold over Aryan mind is faltering. In this, the situation becomes more dangerous as the country approaches critical mass. Well, the people who are really into racial separation and the race are becoming radical. Yeah, and they're becoming like an atom pressed closer and closer and closer into a explosive mass. Solid Aryanist organizations with solid views are going to be more important from now on than ever. No, I disagree, Donald. The more we organize, the more we get screwed. Disorganization, but individual responsibility and fanaticism is what will get it done for now. We see things without binders. The true whites are seeking answers to their questions. They can't get them from the established order, riddled as it is with Jews, non-whites, with a grudge against racial Europeans, and just plain old white traitors. They're busy apologizing to everybody, apologizing to the Indians, apologizing to the Chinamen, apologizing to the Jews, apologizing to everybody. The Aryan movement is the only alternative to the coming chaos. What may seem like a great uphill struggle for recognition is finally coming to an end. Soon the slugs that run things will have to acknowledge the fact that no one believes in them any longer. Well, it's taken us quite a while, but we are inching towards that. Taken a lot longer than Donald Clerkin thought it would. Being under siege has strengthened our mettle and our resolve. There's nothing like a protracted war to build stamina for struggle. One learns to pace himself, to think out each move. I would imagine how our opponents wonder over our continued ability to stay in the fight after 15 years of being under siege as an organization. Now we're starting to come into our own. Whites are beginning to pay attention to what we have so long been saying. Well, I do. I have lots of people come up to me and email me and so forth and say they thought I was nuts 20 years ago, but now they say we're right on. We predicted that immigration would be the issue of the 90s. Well, not only the 90s, it's over into the 2014s. And it's still not being taken care of. It is becoming a national campaign issue. Duke and Buchanan are talking about the threat of Eurocentric nature of the United States, which most people don't even understand. Say white. You mean white? Say white, not Eurocentric. What the hell is Eurocentric? Now you go to England, half the country's niggers, or wogs of some type. Europe is not a white man's continent anymore. He may be able to take it back, but it's not his continent. But he's going to have to get his back up and get mean, fanatic. Yeah, maybe even they'll call you a terrorist, man. Whoopee, thank you. 10 years ago, when we began to talk about the faltering position of the white race in North America, few were willing to listen. Now that's all changed. Whites see nothing but color in their old neighborhoods. And not just blacks, but strange people who seem to come from other planets. The system tells us to welcome these odd peoples. What the system does not tell the white people is that the odd races and peoples brought to this country by the government at taxpayers' expense are here to replace you, white people. No one in government ever tells the third world types that there is going to be a population problem in North America. But the white people are bombarded constantly with birth control and abortion propaganda. I feel certain that we will have a great effect on white affairs in this decade. The tide is turning in our favor. But now is the time to stand up for the white race. Well, that was Major Donald Clerken, D.V. Clerken, back in 1992. He's since passed away, but he did a lot of good work. He worked primarily from his own house and headquarters, and he did a lot of good. So we got to give Major Clerken a big philosophical pat on the back for the time that he went through sacrificing his own life for the struggle. The big problem is that the major domos out there, the would-be leaders, first they want your money. And if you help me print a few books, we're going to turn this thing around. If you finance me to run for office, we're going to turn this thing around. If you do this, we're going to turn this thing around. And people, a lot of people cough up the dough and so forth, but it doesn't happen. And they gradually get disillusioned and leave. People must be made to understand this is a long-range struggle. It never ends. You got that? It never ends. It's from father to son to daughter to grandkid and the whole bit. Pass it on, because it's always been struggle. And for the most part, the white Aryan race has always been a minority in the world. So what's new? Get used to it. But it's going to require struggle, and it's going to require weeding out your own people, especially the leadership. I don't mean just the right-wing so-called racial struggle. I mean politicians, fake leaders, fake senators, fake congressmen, fake governors, fake city councilmen, the whole way down. It's got to get to that before it can change. So, think about that. And don't call yourself a Euro-American, because millions of non-whites in Europe now. You're a white man or a white woman. That's it. Eurocentrism. I know some of the right wing, you know, the usual suspects, started using that crap about 10 years ago. Oh, I'm not really a racist. I'm a Eurocentrist. I'm a Euro-American. Bullshit. You're a racist. If you're not a racist, then you're in the wrong end of town. The problem is they've got everybody thinking racism necessarily means you hate everybody. Well, I don't hate everybody, and I treat people reasonably well, I think. I don't go out of my way to cause non-whites a problem. But we got the big problem, not individuals on the street. But they try to turn it into the idea that if you say you're a racist, oh, by God, you hate everybody. I venture to say I can get along with a lot of non-whites much better than these phony right-wing conservatives. I can get along with anybody. But I don't get along with people who want to destroy my race or take over the country. They're getting on the fighting side of me if they do. Remember that song? Well, I just received notice that attorney Edgar Steele has died in prison, of which his prosecution and sentencing was questionable to a high degree on several sides. I met Edgar Steele at least once, and I had the impression he wasn't in good health then. In fact, I think I read someplace where his health wasn't that good way back. But anyhow, when you're in a prison, federal or state, they can make it really hard. And they can do things that lead to your death, for sure. We know that from David Lane and a lot of other people. So, well, I'm sorry. Edgar and I were not fast friends, but he wrote a good book, I understand. I never got to read that book. I'll have to get a hold of it again. Well, here's something that white cops should not do, which proves some of them are not too bright. Seattle police officer is under fire for taking to social media to defend what he described as the so-called, what is it? Wait a minute here. Militarization of the police department. Then he posted an unflattering rebuke of President Obama as an outright racist. Sergeant Christopher Hall was speaking of the Ferguson, Missouri shootout and subsequent chaos. So he stupidly went on the Facebook or one of those social things and said what he thinks. Well, I can see that. But this is not the time to show yourself, man. This is the time to be cool and travel at periscope depth.
And as peace is slowly being restored, here in Nashville, the Metro Police Department is proactively looking to avoid situations like those in the future. News Channel 5's Jennifer Reyes is at the North Police Precinct. Jennifer, the department was in the spotlight last night.
They were, Rory, at a very packed town hall meeting at Mount Zion. Residents there had many important concerns, but one of them they brought up to Chief Anderson was whether or not the police department could handle something like what happened in Ferguson. Well, the chief of police has given it a lot of thought, and now he's actively looking for the community's involvement.
This situation could happen in Nashville tomorrow. Are we prepared to handle such a situation?
Metro Police Chief Steve Anderson addressed that question Thursday night during a packed town hall meeting at Mount Zion.
To answer part of your question, we would have been able to defuse that situation here in Nashville because of our training.
Hands up! Don't shoot!
Chief Anderson says the situation in Ferguson had problems from the beginning.
I don't know what happened in the street that day.
When the department failed to address the public following the fatal shooting of 18-year-old Michael Brown.
And that's a problem. That's a real problem.
Anderson says his department strives to get information out to the public within an hour of any incident.
If it's good news, get it out there fast. If it's bad news, get it out there faster.
The situation in Ferguson escalated when police didn't release the name of the officer involved in the shooting. Chief Anderson says there is no real purpose in withholding an officer's name.
When you keep secrets, it just sort of smells of a conspiracy.
He also said video of the robbery that Brown was accused of committing should have never been released.
That further added fuel to the fire.
The police response, as Chief Anderson saw it on TV, was inappropriate. He says people have the right to be heard, and his department is here to facilitate that.
If you need to march, if you need to protest, if you need to get a message out, we'll be there with you.
I just want my kids to be brought up in the community, and I want them to know not to fear the police.
While no one can predict a situation like this unfolding in any part of the country, Chief Anderson says the Metro Police Department is proactively looking to avoid it altogether, and it will take the community's involvement.
The police can understand how the community feels, community can somewhat see how the police feels.
This is your police department. It's not my police department. I merely manage it for you.
Chief Anderson will be asking people in the community to get involved. He's going to be forming groups of different people. Now, we're not talking about city leaders that you're used to seeing in front of the public. This is regular folks living in a community. Chief Anderson will be meeting with them to hear their concerns, to hear about their problems happening in their neighborhood. Reporting live outside the North Police Precinct, I'm Jennifer Reyes, News Channel 5, HD.
And the reporter there was a Mexican. Whistling past the graveyard, boys. White cops are on the run. These guys, these police chiefs will say anything now to get out of the limelight. The white cops are on the run, man, and their own leaders are going to turn them in. You wait and see. Things are moving along just fine, boys and girls, from our point of view, or at least my point of view. Well, they're still going on and on about the Redskins logo, and now they're after FedEx. Let's see what the hell's going on here. Anyhow, FedEx, they got a new ad out criticizing FedEx. And first of all, he doesn't let the Klansman ship his paraphernalia. Second of all, he don't let a white guy dressed as a chink ship his stuff. And on it goes. Let me see if I can get a bite of this.
Hi, welcome to FedEx. How can I
help? Yeah, I was kind of hoping to ship a couple of things.
Yeah, anything you can fit in the box will ship, except for that. Are you crazy, we're not going to be able to ship the hat, any of this shit you're wearing, and your little bitty rope? Sorry. Get out. Dude, do you realize how racist this is? That was a rhetorical question. We are not going to be able to ship any of this either. And we have you again.
Oh. You like this one?
Listen, man. As a Native American, I actually find the term Redskins to be highly offensive. It is, after all, a dictionary-defined racial slur. But, wait a minute. You are in luck, because here at FedEx, we are Washington Redskins' corporate sponsor. We embrace this sort of racism. Come on. Welcome home, buddy.
Native American? I thought you were Mexican.
I think I mentioned yesterday about Pamela Silva, an 82-year-old woman in Britain who was attacked by someone they're not wanting to talk about because they don't want to be racist. They've arrested a 35-year-old man. Yeah, you know what he is. He's a nigger running around with a machete. The nigger first tried to hack away at two people, but missed. He then managed to slice away at two cats, and then to behead an 82-year-old woman, according to British media. But they don't want to talk about what his race was. So, you know what his race was. Well, headlines here. Israel goes on offensive with announcement of new homes to be built in Samaria. Israel finally is feeling its oats and going on a diplomatic offensive without apologies, excuses, or foot kissing. Oh, well. Israel announced on Friday it's issuing tenders for 283 new homes in the community of Elkana, located on the western side of Samaria, and approximately 10 miles east of Far Saba, on the northern edge of metropolitan Tel Aviv. The news is certain to draw the fire of the United States at the daily press briefing at the State Department, which earlier this week virtually ordered Israel to reverse its decision to create new communities in Gush Etz Zion and build homes for Jews in Jerusalem. Plans for 2,200 new homes for Arabs in Jerusalem did not draw a whisper from the Obama defense minister, as reported here on Tuesday. Well, they keep eating away that land out there and building houses on it, and that just guarantees another uprising one of these days. Well, here's an international story if I ever heard one, man. Two East Carolina University students were arrested for allegedly killing someone? No. Raping someone? No. Robbing someone? No. They spray-painted a swastika on the door of a Jewish student's apartment. By God, this is going throughout the world, this news. The swastika was discovered Wednesday by the Jewish woman in a private complex. The landing, which caters to college students on several campuses in Greenville, North Carolina area. The accused is Tony Gill Jr., 21, and Brandon Friedhoff, 20, are acquaintances of the woman, according to the WNCN, a North Carolina television station. Well, Friedhoff sounds very much Jewish to me, so it looks like one of them was Jewish and one wasn't. They're facing charges of ethnic intimidation, injury to real property, and first-degree trespass. What the hell is second-degree trespass? trespass or third degree trespass. If found guilty, the men also could be banned and have their heads chopped off. I mean, banned from the apartment complex and expelled from the university. Quote, it needs to be known that our community will not stand for any of this type of discrimination and harassment, unquote, Greenville Police Chief Hassan Adan said. Hassan Adan? He's a raghead. The chief of police is a raghead. You thought that they would have given those two guys a medal. Hey, remember that show Criminal Minds? And I guess there is a show called Homeland that this guy's a star of. Mandy Patinkin. Well, he wants to be the Prime Minister of Israel. How about that? Let's see what's going on here.
My guest tonight is an Emmy and Tony Award-winning actor currently starring in Homeland. I'm not caught up, so don't tell me how the interview ends. Please welcome Mandy Patinkin. Wonderful to have you here.
Good to be here.
And even better to have you here, to have your beard back. It's so lovely.
It just brings me along wherever it goes.
You didn't have one for about a year, right? You took it off?
I took it off the minute I finished shooting. Yes.
Okay.
Because I feel younger.
Really?
Without it.
Don't get me wrong. You've got, as my people say, a lovely little punim there. But the fact that the beard is back lets me know that Homeland cannot be far away.
An antidote for it all. I have a solution that I've come up with that I think will balance my participation in this world for however long I might have left to be in it. And I would like to know if you'd be interested in joining me.
Yeah, I will join you. I will join you in whatever the answer is.
Well, given the state of the world and its epicenter, which I feel is the Middle East.
I don't have to go to the Middle East, do I?
No, you can do it all from this studio if you prefer. But as soon as this season finishes, season 4 of Homeland,
yeah.
I am going to tear a page out of your book, your presidential campaign book, mm-hmm. and I am going to enter myself to be possibly elected as the new Prime Minister of Israel.
Oh, man, that's great, man. I like that. At least it'll get you out of the country.
I would like to suggest that given your right-wing point of view on occasion.
I consider myself an independent, but go ahead.
That you would be my security advisor. Because security is paramount in that part of the world. And therefore, I feel that with you as the head of security and me as the head of moral and ethical attitude toward humanity, the combination of the two might calm the region into, on occasion, laughing at itself, which, on occasion, maybe you're not aware of it, but people laugh at you.
Really? There's no greater country than America. You agree this?
America?
The beautiful.
The great, you think it's the greatest country in the world?
Greatest country in the history of the world.
It might be one of the greatest countries in the world, but right now we are shooting season 4 of Homeland in Cape Town, South Africa. And I can't get over that I'm privileged to be in that place right now because of the world's state of being so horrifying. I'm living in a place where a self-confessed terrorist named Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for many, many years and came out of that prisoner situation without vengeance. And with the
Why should he come out without vengeance? He was a self-professed terrorist. He went to jail. He paid his debts to society. He should come out and apologize.
Well, there you go with some Jew double talk there. Of course, that's his business. He's an actor. And hopefully he does become the prime minister of Israel. He couldn't be as bad as a nitwit. And that'll take two characters out of the country that would not make me unhappy. Colbert and Mandy. Get them both out. Let them go over to Israel. That's a good place for them. He tickled me on his criminal minds. He was the all know all, and he knew everything, and he could look into people's minds and everything. Super Jew. That's what he was on that show. It's interesting that right away, since they've got another ball team in town, the Islamic State, that Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini has approved cooperation with the U.S. as part of the fight against Islamic State. Iran, of course, is Shiite. Boy, you can't... They change team names faster than I change my underpants. They also dug up the fact that the Islamic State militants have outsourced their social media work to Western women who are married to jihadi warriors. These women apparently try to persuade would-be sisters in Europe and the United States to travel to the Middle East and help make the way for the revolution and maybe strap on some C4 while they're at it. How about that? So that blonde, blue-eyed gal down the street that's married to a raghead is liable to be enticing other people on the block to move over there and join the Islamic State. Well, we're going to get it. There's no doubt about it. I told you, biological warfare, they're going to get it here. The International Christian Mission Organization, SIM, announced that missionary Dr. Rick Sacra, recently infected with Ebola virus while serving in Liberia, was flown to the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, Nebraska, for treatment, setting these Ebola people right down in the heartland of this country. And like atomic bombs, sooner or later there's going to be a mistake made. Meanwhile, over at the Vatican, former Israeli President Shimon Peres paid a visit and asked the Pope Francis to head a parallel United Nations call for the United Religions to counter religious extremism in the world today. The Pope did not commit to the idea, but listened attentively to the 90-year-old Perez, who fancies himself a bit of a peacemaker, too. Well, all you're going to do there, if you're going to unite the religions, you're not going to make the religion less dangerous, you're going to make it far more dangerous. So go ahead and try that, you stupid idiots.
two kids who tried to hit a guy and do the knockout thing, and they got him, and the guy was an older guy, and I don't know how big or little he was or whatever, but these two kids decided he should be a target, and they tried to do the knockout game where they hit you as hard as you can, and one videos it, and you try and knock the person out or kill them with one punch. The guy got a gun, and this guy said, you know, he says, do you know that the kid he shot was 16 years old, and the guy that they tried to, that they hit or tried to hit, ran him down and shot him and gunned him down in the back, shot him in the back. The kid was running away. How would you like it if that happened to your son? My kid wouldn't be playing the knockout game. And hello, I think it's perfectly all right if you're a dumb 16-year-old thug and you're playing the knockout game and a really mean son of a bitch you fuck with gets a gun and shoots your fucking ass, you deserved every ounce of lead. Every ounce. I love these guys. They're 50 years old. Like those five guys that were accused of the rape of the woman in the park, and you find out they really are scumbags. And they all go, oh, when we were young, we were really bad. But now we've been in jail for 28 years, and we're okay now. We're nice people. Yeah, give them each $4 million apiece. There was...
Yeah, and whenever you get a chance to recruit or influence some old guy like that, probably as old as I am, bring him in. Those are the kind of guys we need.
I bet you they won't play this song on the radio. I bet you they won't play this new song. It's not that it's awful, controversial, just that the f***ing words are awfully strong. You can't say on the radio or. You can't even say I'd like to you someday unless you're a doctor with a very large. So I bet you they won't play this song on the radio. I bet you they f***ing well program it. I bet you the f***ing old program directors will think it's a load of horse.